You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
For those that are just needing breakthroughs, that you would again bring those breakthroughs in your name. Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would abound in our lives. Give us the direction we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today what I'd like to do is take a little bit of time and combine a stewardship report with a message on prayer. And I hope that you can see these two things are connected. And really what this is to do is to give us a pathway to really a spiritual pathway to run on for the next several months. Because I'm looking down the path of the fall, headed into the fall, and just knowing that God wants to do some amazing things in your life. He wants to do some amazing things in our life. And so I want to, I guess, set the stage spiritually for that to happen. So you have some good ideas of what God wants to do, and that you can put those ideas into practice and say, Lord, this is what we need. This is where we're headed. And so we gave a report. It's been several months now. We gave a report, I think it was back in March. And we got a lot of feedback from you, which was really positive, saying we'd love to hear more. And we'd love for you to give a little more often would you give a report. So we calendared three times a year just to give you a bit of a financial dashboard so folks know what's going on. And I think that you're going to appreciate this. Let me see if I can pull this up here. Here we go. Stewardship report. Here we go. Listen, fiscal year for Canby Bible College, or for Canby Foursquare Church, September through August. So that's our fiscal year. From giving histories, we made conservative estimates at the beginning of the fiscal year of $1.62 million. As of today, we're 94%, and we're trusting the Lord for that final 6% this month, which isn't too much. You know, we're not at, it's not a lot. It's like we're looking at this saying, wow, we're right here about to reach our goal. Now, why is that so important? Because in January, February, and March, it was pretty low, and you usually have those low months. We were really wondering, are we going to meet this? Are we going to meet this this objective, this goal? It looks like we will. And so I'm excited to just tell you that. So that's something to be thankful for. That's really a breakthrough. And I'm glad to see what God's doing in our lives. The next one is, we anticipate our general expenses for this year will be $1.618 million. As of today, we have spent 92% of that budget. So if you notice the difference between under 6%, we need 6% more to go. We're under our expenditures, our projected expenditures. So let me say this. Given your generosity and the frugality of a team, we're meeting our goals. And we just feel strong about this. We feel strong about being good stewards of what God has given us. So where do general fund offerings go? General fund offerings go to these different places. What you see here is 10% goes to tithe. I don't know how many of you know this, but we tithe as a church. So we give 10% to our Foursquare denomination. And that's the way that we practice the joy and the discipline of tithing, because we believe in it. We believe God's called us to do that. And so that's the partnership we have with our Foursquare churches and our Foursquare denomination. Now, one of the things that happened, I just want to tell you this, it was so cool because God came through in some pretty amazing ways, and I think of one of the things that He did early on in our history here with Annette and I. We arrived about almost 30 years ago, and a week or two after we had come here, some of the council members came and said, hey, we haven't tithed here for about a year now, and we got together and we said, We need to resume tithing. It is the way that God blesses us. It is the way that we keep the enemy at bay. It's a way that we check our hearts for mammon in our lives. So we decided to do something. We decided not only to begin to tithe, we back tithed. Now, I don't know if you've ever really heard of that before, because when I called our district office and said, listen, we're going to start tithing right away. We're so committed to this, but we're also going to back tithe. They said, well, you don't need to do that. We've never heard of anyone ever doing that. And he asked the guy on the end of the phone, said, why are you doing that? And I said, because I don't want the enemy to have a foothold in any of our lives. I just don't want to leave that door open. I want to close that door. So we announced to the congregation what we were doing. I said, it's going to probably take 18 months to make up for this. This church, made that up in 3 months. 3 months. And we continue to tithe, and we've tithed ever since. This is a commitment we've made to follow Jesus Christ. And so where does this go? 10% to tithe. 17% of this goes to our facilities. You can see that there. Let me see. Go back here. 17% goes to our facilities. And that's something that keeps this campus beautiful. This is a 13-acre campus. We believe in good stewardship. We've had people say when we've driven by here, man, your campus is a testimony to us. And so we want to continue to be an inviting church, a church that's full of hospitality, and that's one of the ways that we do it. In this, we also have a mortgage. Now, some folks have asked before, well, what's the percentage of your mortgage to your general fund? And you know what it is right now? It's about 6 to 7%. Isn't that amazing? And we made that commitment a long time ago, and the reason we made that commitment is because we know that that's usually what a lot of churches spend their money on, is their mortgage payment. But the decision we made was very simple. It was this, that when God asks us to go plant a church or pick up a mission or send people out to different parts of the country, the first question we would not ask is, how will this impact our mortgage? We don't want to be bound by mortgage. We want to be free to make disciples that make disciples for Jesus. And this is about where it stayed for years and years and years. That is a beautiful thing, considering this amazing campus. We have 11% goes into operations. 60% goes into our staff. That's our pastors, our staff. They're our primary resource for doing ministry and typically the largest part of a church budget. We actually have a few extra things. We have Canby Bible College that we underwrite. And we also have an internship, which most churches don't have that kind of robust discipleship process. We do here, and we're committed to it, and we support it, and we believe this is what God has called us to do. The other thing that we do is Canby Foursquare Church is a generous body of believers. One of the things that we have been able to do over the years is we've been able to, this year especially, beyond our general fund, you've given an extra $400,000, which has supported Canby Bible College, international missions, our internship, and other important works above and beyond. Almost $500,000. Give yourself a hand on that one. That's amazing. That's amazing. It's incredible. And then what we have here is this year, more than 50% of our total dollars have been engaged in our mission to make disciples. So you see that happening all the time. You see the different places where we're making disciples who make disciples, and it's just been a wonderful process to be part of. And so this is what we believe, and I want you to hear this. We believe, you know, we have a generous God, and I know we've experienced that. And He gives us all that we need to do His work, and so He's called us to do that. And part of God's supply is your generosity. It's been your sacrificial giving to make this work possible. And we as a staff, we're grateful. And we pray always to remain worthy of those sacred trusts with your offering and your commitment to making disciples that make disciples. And I love this scripture. I want to read it to you. It's Hebrews 6:10. It says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward Him and His name, in that you have ministered to the saints to do the work of the ministry." And we just want you to be caught up. We want you to know what we're doing. This is the big part. It's our responsibility to be financially sound, and that's a spiritual obligation that we feel. One of the things that we're going to add to this down the road is we're going to be talking about a new form of stewardship here called legacy giving. I've mentioned it before, and it's not going to be a high-pressured fundraiser. It's going to be a thoughtful process where you're thinking about, wow, how do I leave a legacy? We want to help you do that. We have some people here with some amazing gifts and skills that can help us do that. And so you're going to be hearing more about how that looks as we move forward. Lord. And so we're in a place right now that God has just brought us right here. In the next few weeks, we think we're going to see our goals met. And again, I want to thank you for your generosity. I want to thank you for your faithfulness in all this. And it's an exciting thing to see God work this way. Sunday, November 18th, will be the next time that we share with you where we are and let you know exactly what God's up to so you can help pray for us as well. We can pray for each other. Amen? Amen. Here's what I'd like to do right now. I want you to open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 7 because last week I talked about giving generously. Today, the message that I know I've felt on my heart for quite some time now is about praying persistently. You know, Annette and I went into our vacation a few weeks ago believing that God had a word for us, and we were talking about that on the way to our destination. It's a place that we like to go every year and bring our family, and typically we want to seek God's heart and say, Lord, what is the word? What is the word that you have for us? Another time that we're very aware of asking about this is as we go in the Christmas season and in a new year, we pray for all of our kids, our family, for our church, and ask God for the same thing. Help us, Lord. Give us a word, because we know your word is faithful. We know your word never fails, and that we want to stand on your word. So we had been there a couple days on vacation, and the Lord really spoke to both of us, typically about praying. And it just seems that when you have kids and grandkids and other things that go on in life, they just make you pray. Whether you want to or not, they're in front of us and you're watching their lives and you're going, Oh, Lord Jesus. This could be a train wreck. Sometimes you want to cover your eyes, you know, and say, oh, no. But we believe God's given our kids words and that has sustained them, and we believe God's going to continue to do that. So the word that I want you to hear this morning, I hope touches you personally, and I hope what it does is it deals with family issues that you might be facing right now, and also what is going on in our community. What's going on right now that we need to be aware of? And the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And we want to be sensitive to the direction of God's Holy Spirit. We strongly believe there are things that God wants to accomplish in us and through us, in our family, through our family. We believe there are things that God wants to accomplish in our church and through our church. So the word that he gave us is found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. And I want you to look there just for a moment. It has to do with prayer and praying persistently and walking in faith. It's a subject that sometimes we miss when we look at praying. We don't think about it a lot. We might be doing it, but it's good for us to stop and take notice about what is prayer. What does it look like? In my personal life and in my family, what does it look like? And the Bible says this, and Jesus is teaching the Sermon on the Mount. He's getting toward the end of this message, and he says this. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. And he goes on, for whoever or everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. And I say amen. I say amen, amen, and amen. And I want you to listen to this. If faith without works is dead, which James tells us, then asking without seeking and knocking is just as lifeless. You know, this is where we desperately need the guidance of God's Holy Spirit. And then we invite the guidance of God's Holy Spirit, the direction of God's Holy Spirit, to really teach us how to pray and give us the direction for prayer in our lives. But one thing Jesus is certain of, he's giving us a promise, and he's saying, this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like when you pray persistently. And Jesus encourages that in this wonderful message. But I think what we need to do is say, Holy Spirit, come and help us have the right motives when we pray. Give us a clean heart when we pray. Open our hearts to forgiveness and forgiving others when we pray. So what Jesus tells us here is praying persistently is more than just using our words. Praying persistently, according to Jesus, also requires our action, that we take action. You know, and I know this. I know one of the things that I'm prone to is living in an automatic world, an automated world. We get what we want, and we get it right away. And I'm guilty of that. You know, when you turn on your phone or look at your computer, there are things that you can have at your doorstep immediately. That's if you're Amazon Prime. The rest of you have to suffer. But if that's what you have, that's what you get. And oftentimes, what we can become accustomed to is getting things quickly, satisfying our desires, but maybe not doing the right thing that God has for us, because what God may want from you has to do with seeking and knocking. It has to do with diligence. It has to do with faith. It has to do with all those things the world cannot give us. It has to do with our relationship to Jesus Christ. Jesus says that this is an absolute promise from God. And you can be sure that if you keep asking, if you keep seeking, if you keep knocking, then God's promises will be yours. Now, here's what it looks like. The first thing that he says here, he says for us to ask. And I think about asking, even though God knows before we ask, he wants us to ask him anyways. When I think about that, you have to ask the question, why? Why does he want us to ask when he already knows what we need? Well, the main reason, and really the bottom line, is this is about relationship, friends. This is about having a relationship with God. And that in my asking, I'm connecting with God. I'm connecting with his resources. I'm connecting with his presence. And that's what he desires more than anything else. He doesn't need your things, but he wants your heart. And one of the ways that we connect with God and we have a relationship with him is coming to him and say, Lord, this is what I'm asking for. And I know and understand this is about relationship. He wants a relationship with you. Right now, the thing that God wants more than anything else is a relationship with you. See, asking is the way that we declare our dependency and trust in him. And that by asking, what we're saying is, Lord, we trust in you. We don't trust in the things that we see. We don't trust in the things that are around us, but we trust in you. And asking is not an easy thing. I think most of you know that, if you've ever experienced this before. Asking then declares that you are in need. And then when you admit you're in need, there is a humility about our lives that we must. It's humbling to ask. I've said this before. I hate going out to a grocery store, or a department store, or any place like that, and asking for help. I don't like to go to the counter. You know, they used to have the old counters where you ring the bell, and you know that I don't like that. It means that I'm really, really needy. You know, if I'm going to ask someone to help me, that means that I'm really needy. But I recognize it's not about my needs so much as it's about my pride. And I have this disease called I got this-ness. You know, I've got this. I can do this. I've got it. I can do it on my own. And what Jesus says here is when you ask, what you're doing is you're humbling yourself. And you're making your needs known. And there's something here that I feel important to say. And that's, you need to say these kinds of things out loud. That there's just something about hearing ourselves. Ask God for the things that we desire and need. That when I say it out loud, it makes it real. Have you experienced that before? I mean, I can keep it in my own head. I can keep it in my own heart, my own mind. I get that. God knows that. But there's something I need. I need to hear myself say it. And to be able to say, Lord, I need you to help me here. I desperately need your help to make a way through what seems to be an impossible thing I face today. And when I hear myself say it, I'm reminded of God's greatness and my weakness. And so let me encourage you, if you haven't practiced that before, you can do this. You can practice this. You can drive to work in your car. You can just speak out loud. And I think by doing that, again, it just reminds me that I need Him by asking Him. The second thing Jesus says here is He talks to us about seeking. It's not always enough to just ask. More often than not, you also need to seek. In other words, add some works to your faith. I said it earlier, it's not just sitting back and saying, okay, God, I asked. But the Lord will probably require that there be some seeking that goes along with your asking. If you ask Him for a new job, then seek a new job. If you ask Him for reconciliation, then seek reconciliation. If you ask Him for healing, then seek healing. You see, with the asking comes the seeking. I know this is elemental. I know this is fundamental, but it's so necessary that when we're asking, we're saying, Lord, I'm going to do my part and I'm going to seek. I'm going to show up where your Holy Spirit leads me to show up so that I can do what you've asked me to do. I am seeking. If you want to know God's word in a deeper way, then what do you need to do? You say, God, I ask you to know your word, but then I have to seek. I have to open the Bible. I have to be with people who study God's word. I have to be in that kind of atmosphere because that's part of seeking. Remember, just asking doesn't get us to where we need to be spiritually. We have to say, Lord, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to follow you. Not just to sit back and wait for an angel or someone else to do all the work, but to be able to seek Him. And that's why we're going to be setting aside September and October with the focus of seeking Him and breakthroughs in our lives. We're going to be focused on what God wants to do, and we're going to pray for those breakthroughs during our worship times. We're going to have prayer teams available so that if you're in that process of seeking, you've asked and you're in that process of seeking, then you can go and spend time with someone and pray for those breakthroughs. And then on November 14th, Wednesday, November 14th, we're going to come back together on a Wednesday evening, and we're going to worship, and we're going to pray, and we're going to talk about how God broke through for you. What did God do for you? How did He break through for you? Seek Him. If you ask, make sure you're seeking. Make sure you're showing up in the places where that request can actually be fulfilled. That's part of seeking. And then the third thing is that we knock. See, if you seek, the promise is you'll find. And once you see God's promise in clear view, then knock, keep on knocking until that promise door is open. Don't give up. And I think some of you might be on that threshold of seeing promises fulfilled in your life. Let me say this, keep knocking and keep knocking and keep knocking some more. Because God will come through. He will break through on your behalf, on your loved one's behalf, on family behalf, on community. Keep knocking. I said earlier, you know, it's just one of those things, if you ask for a new job, then go seek for a new job. But there's something about the persistence that has to happen. That's really what the knocking is about. It's about that persistence. It's about, I'm there, I'm on the threshold, don't give up now. Keep knocking. Knock on the door, keep knocking, keep knocking. I remember Annette and I, right after we got married, we were just praying about direction, and we just felt like I hadn't completed college yet, so we felt like it was necessary that we move back down to Southern California, where we actually met, and that I would complete my last year of Bible college. And so, actually, Annette went down ahead of me and got a job, a great job, and I spent time, a couple of weeks maybe, packing everything up, getting everything ready, and going down. I didn't have a job. I just went down. Well, the cherry job back then, because they paid, I won't tell you what the pay, it sounds cheap now, but it was above minimum wage, way above minimum wage. The cherry job was actually working at UPS. And so I went in, I filled out an application. I asked for a job, and I filled out the application. And I wanted that job because if I knew I had that job, we'd be okay. We could pay the rent, we could pay the school bills, all those kinds of things. Well, I didn't hear from him right away. So I went down about every other day. I went down every other day, and I just knocked on the supervisor's door. And there I was. I was standing there. And after probably the third or fourth time I showed up, it was, oh, he's here again. Oh, man. That guy just keeps knocking. He keeps knocking on our door. And I said, I'm going to keep knocking on your door till I get a job. Because I want to work here. You know what knocking does? It actually makes very clear the desires of your heart. Did you know that? Because sometimes they're not just clear to us either. And when we keep knocking, what happens is there's a clarity to that. So I kept knocking, and they hired me probably because they were tired of me. But they did hire me, and I know one of the reasons was not just because I asked, not just because I sought a job, but because I kept knocking. I kept knocking. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Your kids are worth knocking for. Your kids are worth knocking for. This community is worth knocking for. This breakthrough that God has in your life personally is worth knocking for. So stand at the door and knock. And the Bible says, and the promise is, that when you knock, it will be open to you. You see, again, knocking means this is urgent. And you are persistent. And breakthrough is right there. One of the characters in the Bible that I love to read about, who was just, I think, this was the way this person lived life, was King David. King David lived his life like that. When you read the Psalms, when you read the activities of his life, he wouldn't just ask, he wouldn't just seek. I mean, he was persistent. One of the places that I see it is in Psalm 27:4, and David said this. He said, "One thing that I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." I'm going to keep knocking. And not only am I going to dwell in the house of the Lord, I want to bring everyone I meet to dwell in the house of the Lord. I want everyone that I come in contact with to experience what it's like to even be in the presence of the house of the Lord, because the Spirit of the Lord lives in me. And the Spirit of the Lord in me and in you is so enticing to those that may not know Jesus Christ. Please keep being persistent with those friends, family members who don't know Jesus. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Because they see that you dwell in the house of the Lord. That you're persistent, you're determined to dwell in the house of the Lord. So here's what I'm asking this morning from you. You see your bulletin, I think. If you don't have one, we can get you one. But you got one. Most of you got one on the way in. And this is what I'm asking, is that you pray for breakthroughs in your life. And I want you to just take a little time. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward in just a moment. But I want you to take some time and write personal break. Where do you need personal breakthroughs? Where do you need breakthroughs in your family? Where do you need breakthroughs, or where do we need breakthroughs in community, including church and the community that we're part of? Where do we need those breakthroughs? So I want you to turn your mind, your heart, to this passage of Scripture and say, God, this is what I'm asking for, this is what I'm seeking, and this is what I'm knocking for. I'm going to be persistent in this. During our worship time, that first song that you hear, I'm just going to ask that you just stay where you are and you begin, come on up, worship team, you begin to write what it is that you're asking, seeking, and knocking for in all three of those areas. And that you hold on to that. Would you keep that in your Bible? Would you carry it with you so that you'll be reminded and say these things, say them out loud. Say, God, here it is. This is what I'm committed to. We're going to, in just a moment, as we worship, I'm going to invite our prayer teams to be available as well, so that when we worship the Lord, you can feel free to get out from where you are and go have prayer and say, this is what I'm doing, I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm finding in Jesus' name. This is what this is what I'm going to do. And so here are the questions. Pray for breakthroughs, personal, family, and community. Write those down. In a few weeks, I'm going to start a 10-week series. Been thinking about this, praying about this for, golly, months now. So we go into the fall. I want to do a series called The Gift of Desperation. Because for most of us, we're desperate. We just have not acknowledged our desperation. There are areas of our life that we're desperate for the move of God. And to be able to say, Lord, I'm desperate for you. The first message is going to be called A Desperate Prayer from the life of a beautiful woman named Hannah. We're going to go to different places throughout Scripture and say, here's where desperation showed up, because it's as we understand our own desperation, on the other side we find that hope. You see, true hope, the hope of God's Holy Spirit, comes when we acknowledge our desperation for whatever that might be, and we say, Lord, I am in desperate need. I'm in desperate need, first of all, for you. And when I'm in desperate need for you, I know hope can come. And that's what we need. That's what a generation needs. So we're going to take some time. We're going to take some time through September and October, 1st of November, and we're going to talk about the gift of desperation from the lives of so many wonderful, wonderful Bible personalities and what the Scripture says here. This is what desperation looks like. This is what you can have. You can have that gift and hope can be yours, because on the other side of desperation is always the hope of Jesus Christ. Jesus in you, Paul says, is the hope of glory. People need to see followers of Christ saying, I need and depend on Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? And we're going to continue to worship. As we pray, I'm going to just ask our prayer teams if they could just make themselves available. And during our worship time, just be available to pray for those that need prayer here today. Father, I want to thank you today for your amazing work in our lives. Lord, what we're doing right now is we're just contending for just breakthroughs. Breakthroughs in our lives personally and in our families, in our community. Lord, we need to see you. Lord, we pray for your salvation. The salvation of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, would go into the far reaches of people's hearts that don't know you, and that you would bring light and you would bring salvation. Lord Jesus, we just pray for that salvation as we go in to these next few days, next few weeks, next few months. We are in desperate need of you. So today, Lord Jesus, we ask, we seek, we knock, and we know you bring the promise true in our lives. You bring the promise. In Jesus' name we pray, and we say together, amen. We're going to worship this first song. Just take time, reflect, write some things down, and then we're going to really engage in what God has for us. If you need someone to pray with you, please, please, receive prayer today. Thanks, Annette.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.